Thank you, Arlene, for that beautiful music, and Becky too.
Am I turned on?
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. The scripture this morning comes from the Old Testament. The first one is Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 4, 7 through 9, and 12 through 20, which can be found on page 66 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. The Ten Commandments. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." The second reading comes from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14, which can be found on page 198 in your pew Bible. Philippians 3, 4 through 14. Even though I, too, have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a prosecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Okay. How many of you read The Sign Thursday? Or Friday. Friday would have been free flu shots from 9 to 11. But if you read it Saturday afternoon, press on to the prize. Well, what does Paul mean by that? Press on to the prize. I mean, Paul has already had this personal conversation with Jesus Christ as Lord. He's told him what he wants him to do. What else could Paul ask for? But he's pressing on to the prize. And what is that prize? What is the goal? Paul uses a metaphor relating to an athlete. And it's from the perspective of an athlete who's in the lead. He's straining forward. That athlete is waiting till they come around that bend, or that jockey on that horse is waiting to come around that bend, hit the home stretch, and what are they looking at? The tape. Why? Because that's the goal. That's the goal in a race. But what's the goal in life? What's your prize in life? Because they're both things that you're aiming for. They're both things that you're shooting for. They're both things that you should be focusing your entire life on attaining. What if I were to tell you there is nothing that you or I can do? Nothing. No act, whether piety or mercy, there's no single act, save one, that we can do that guarantees us victory and that we're going to cross that finish line and we're going to hear, "Well met, good and faithful servant." So why do we bother running? Because the Ten Commandments tells us to. It's how we live our lives with our brothers and sisters. It's how we live our lives in worshiping our God. The Ten Commandments, they get in Exodus. It's restated again in Deuteronomy. And then Jesus gives them a quote that paraphrases and condenses it and tells them what? Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second, no less than that, thy neighbor as thyself. So we know what it is that we must do. We've been told what it is to do. So, gosh, I guess we've gotten there, right? So we can just give up and quit, right? Because, you know, look at what Paul has been through in his life. I mean, we know he's been shipwrecked. We know he's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's been spat upon. We know he's had all of these things done to him. And as he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, who has supported him for a long time, and he is in Rome. Most of the commentators agree that he's in Rome awaiting judgment by Caesar, and whether it's to be free or whether to be killed is still in the balance. It's not known yet. But one of the questions that's here is, do you put merit in doing things, and in Paul's scheme of things, being the ultimate Jew's Jew? He's a Pharisee's Pharisee. Well, he goes on to list how irrelevant all of his accomplishments are. And I'm not going to read them all, but we know that he's saying that he was the Jew's Jew. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was born of Jews. He was circumcised on the eighth day, following all of the Torah, all of the things that the Talmud tells him he must do. And he's the Pharisee's Pharisee. So if that were worth anything in declaring that you are saved and a child of God, well, then Paul could call it at merit. But what does he say? No, all of that pales because the only thing that matters is Christ Jesus. Now, he's not saying he's got that eschatology, that end of days, that resurrection body, that new Jerusalem, but he's hoping for that. He's striving on for that. That's a goal. That's the prize. It's something that's not been realized yet, but it's something he continues to labor for, hope for, pray for, and earnestly is doing all that he can to ensure that you and I realize that serving Christ is not about sitting in the pews. It's not about showing up on a Saturday morning and serving people who come in and need food. Now, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. We're striving on for the goal of reaching a point where we are with God, with Jesus. How many times, over the last month or so, we've had so many scriptures out of Romans, and each of them in Paul is telling us that what we need to be doing is putting on Christ, becoming more like Christ, assuming, and why? What does Jesus tell us? Love one another as I have loved you. Well, how in the world are we going to do that? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, guess what? Read the scriptures, find out what Jesus did in those circumstances, and then go out and repeat it. And when another circumstance comes, and it's not one that's covered already in a book, and believe me, it probably is covered in one way or another, follow it. Follow his example. And if you can't figure that one out, if you haven't read that one yet, stop, pray, and ask him to give you the answer. And do it not just saying, oh, Lord, what's the number for the Powerball today? Come on. Something, we're asking Jesus for things that matter. If you want to pick up a number, play roulette, play any of those games, fine. Do that. But God is there for you to call on for meaningful and purposeful things in life. And sometimes he's going to tell you to wait. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And the toughest one out there is wait, not yet. Paul is getting that answer because what he said is, we go to verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the sharing of his suffering, death, sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Again, he's looking at that eschatological, the end days, the resurrection body. Well, when's that going to happen? Well, ask Jesus. And Jesus says, no one knows but the Father. So if Jesus doesn't know, you think any of the rest of us are going to know when that day is? No, but we're supposed to be striving to meet that. Not that I have already obtained this or reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. Because that's what Jesus did. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, here I am, and stop. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're supposed to follow him, not stop. Yes, he says, come unto me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, we're to come to him. But when we come to him, what does he do? He says, take up your cross and follow me. He doesn't let you sit where you are. He doesn't leave you where you are. He takes you where you need to be. So we need to be pressing on to the goal. Verse 12. I press on to make it my own because Jesus, Christ Jesus, has made me his own. If you belong to Jesus, then you'll do what Jesus wants us to do. The way, the truth, and the life. Verse 12. Verse 13. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. You ever watch the guy's, I can't think of his name right now, Bolt. He's the fastest man in the world right now. Usain Bolt. You ever notice how he's always looking back when he's running that 100-yard dash? Right? He's always looking back. Isn't he? No, you watch him, and what's he doing? He is looking straight down there, and he is like a shot off. And he's going. You think he's looking back. Now, peripheral vision, he's probably looking to see if anybody's gaining, but not so much. Maybe someday somebody will be getting fast enough to be up with him. But he's not looking back. You look forward. If you're running a race with the intent to win, you put all your focus and all your attention in what? The prize, the goal, the finish line. The rest of the stuff, yeah, it's life. It's going on around us, and we need to be mindful of the people that are with us, that are running that race with us. But God wants us to, stealing from the army, where's an army guy? Be all that you can be. Close enough? Christ wants us all to be all that we can be. And you know what? You can't be all you can be if the only one doing it is you. You need Christ in you. You need to allow Him to take charge of your life. Then you're going to be all that you can be, because Christ is going to get you to the finish line. And that's the goal. Anybody want to venture what the prize is? Oh, wealth beyond measure. Green fields, lush pastures, a picnic table beside a running stream, a babbling brook with a waterfall behind me called Rufflock Falls. Black Hills spearfish, look it up. Trout in the stream. And my dad and my uncle at both ends of the stream, one at the bottom and one at the top. One's worm fishing and the other one's fly fishing. And when they finish and when they've caught their limit and our limit, we stop off at A&W for a root beer float. And we all do that in the presence of our Creator, God. That's my prize. That's my goal. What's yours? Shalom.